From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Caulfield and Company.
You don't play, you don't know it.
Come on, LeBron, give us a
He's 17, 9 inches tall. I call Tama. Get your big ass up here.
It's time for Caulfield and Company with Steve Caulfield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday, a Game 7 Wednesday. Baseball will be over on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 1340-98.9 FM. John Von Tobel is here. It's Caulfield. It's Ari. Busy, busy show to get to. We've got all 3 hours. We're going to head to the Tony Sanchez radio show at 6 o'clock. But we got it. We got it. I complained for all this time that the World Series was a snooze fest. Oh, we got something good now.
It's time for the three. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
Now, that said, I do the show for the co-host, for the company. So baseball's coming up here in less than five. I also have to smash myself for stupid radio last night. I got what I deserve. That's coming up in just a couple minutes. But we actually got JVT. We're very lucky to have him on Wednesdays because Wednesday is NBA Day on ESPN. It's the Stephen A. Smith Sports Center. But this guy right here, I think this is a brand you need to go with. And I'd like to see you change your name to Jonathan A. Smith. Because you love the NBA. We got 11 games today. What are you doing here?
I actually thought about canceling.
Did you?
And then, but still telling my wife that I was going to your show and then just going to, like, you know, Red Rock or something like that.
So now you're just lying and sort of cheating on your wife by just watching the NBA.
Yeah, but she understands, so to a certain extent.
My God, you're a lunatic. That said, you got to do your homework, bro. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Clippers tonight.
They favored by
I see a video out from VSiN because John does satellite radio, and you can hear that over on 920 The Game every night, Monday to Friday at 10 o'clock. But this guy is, like, all over the NBA. I see a best bet last night on the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard's not playing. Are you following the sport?
Announced, what, 2.5, 3 hours ago, something like that, and we put our bets in yesterday at midnight.
You are pissed.
Well, the only reason I'm annoyed, too, is because you have to expect this, right, with the NBA. The reason I'm annoyed is if it's a road trip and he's not going to play or if he's not going to go on the road trip, you'd expect something to be out there by about that time, right?
Clippers are in Utah.
Yeah, they're in Utah. And it's the night game on ESPN. And I looked for so long to try to find, because the number opened up Utah -1.5. And if Kawhi's playing, the Clippers should be favored. Not by much, but I thought by Clippers -1.5. That's how I made the number. So I'm like, okay, something. What is this? Right? I texted a couple people, like Aaron Renning's a pretty good basketball handicapper who's on the network a lot, got his thoughts on it. And I'm like, there's something, like, I'm missing something. I have to be missing something, but there's no report of Kawhi. All right, I'm going to play it. It's up to 2.5. I'm going to play this. You know, my numbers are telling me that if Kawhi's playing, which it looks like he is, this is it. And then sure enough, I wake up this morning, it's up to 4, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then it's announced about, I'd say, what, 1 o'clock-ish? A little bit before that. That Kawhi's not going to play the front end of the back-to-back, and he will play tomorrow in San Antonio, which makes no sense, by the way.
For you, is this lesson learned, though, that with load management teams, I don't know why I said it that way, load management teams, Lakers and the Clippers, that you really can't bet overnights?
I think to a certain extent, yes. I think you have to stay away from the back-to-backs. But here's the other thing, right? So Rachel Nichols tweeted this out, and this is what I find amazing about this whole situation, because the NBA, last week, right, we talked about the whole starting lineup rule, right? The fact you have to announce your starting lineup 30 minutes before the game, and on opening night, the Toronto Raptors did that and then rolled out with a different starting lineup.
Whatever they wanted.
Yeah, whatever they wanted. And no, you know, nothing from the league in terms of reprimanding them for breaking the rule. Rachel Nichols tweets out, Kawhi out versus Utah for load management / knee issues. This seems counter to NBA rules on not resting players for nationally televised games. Fines up to $1,000, or $100,000, excuse me. But the league office tells me the Clippers got this approved in advance. What? So there is no rule.
Yeah.
This is a primetime game.
And there's no transparency.
Yeah.
And again, because you'll hear this in the next 20 minutes a couple of times, the whole integrity fee thing is the biggest joke ever, that these leagues were asking for a fee so they could control the protect the integrity of the game.
Yep.
And right out of the gates, they're not protecting the integrity of anything.
Hey, at least I know that Ben Simmons is 6'9", 7 inches, right?
Right.
Like, that's super important. Thanks a lot, man.
So silly.
Yep.
So I mentioned the Lakers. Last night, the Lakers actually get out to a 14-2 deficit against Memphis, and then from there, they freaking rolled. How incredible was Anthony Davis? 40 points, 20 rebounds, and pretty solid from the free throw line.
27 attempts, 26 makes?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Dude, and it's funny because I don't know how much of you watched it, but I think around the second quarter, he left the floor. He went to the locker room, and a lot of people were freaking out, like, oh, my God, Anthony Davis, or hurt again. Here we go. Oh, he just had to get the shoulder retaped so he could school all these fools on the floor. It was ridiculous. If they roll with him at center, right, if they finally get it through his head, like, dude, come on. Like, I know you don't really want to play the position, but we work so much better. The floor opens up so much more if you play at the five. Then it's going to be so much better for this team overall. I still think they're more of a playoff team than a regular season team, right? Be a 4 or 5 seed somewhere in that range, but they'll be much tougher to deal with when you have guys like AD and LeBron playing nearly 40 minutes. But, yeah, last night, you saw exactly what he could be, man. He was awesome. He was dominant. And you can't go ahead and double him up because then you have a guy in LeBron James still on the floor with him, and who knows what's going to happen there, too.
It's funny. I saw so many people reacting on social media to the Lakers' victory by simply saying, wow, this is fun. Like, Laker basketball used to be fun. It's fun again. This is great. And at the end of the game, of course, they've got their taco promotion, and now you got LeBron tied in with all his off-season Taco Tuesday stuff, and the crowd starts chanting. Nice.
A lawsuit?
Very nice. There were jokes about that. That's why he was celebrating. He's like, lawsuit. It's like, I'm getting all of you for a trademark violation.
Taco John's is like, you know, now amassing 20,000 letters to send to every single fan that was at Staples Center yesterday.
You think Bill Belichick was watching and he's like, I don't get this chant and the rhythm. Remember that whole thing with Belichick? He can't do a chant. It was great.
They're fired up for a win over the... I mean, look, it was a really quality opponent, right? No?
Wow, that was dripping.
Oh, it was
heavy sarcasm.
It was the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all right. You got to beat who's put in front of you.
That's true. Hey, look, the Clippers, you know me, I'm gung-ho about the Clippers. They lost to the Suns a couple days ago, and who knows what's going to happen today, but, you know, it was the Grizzlies.
Sticking with the Taco Tuesday theme, I've been doing this a little longer than you have, and...
Eating tacos,
but also doing radio, yet I still make horrendous mistakes where I go home and then I just want to self-mutilate, and I, like, generally I scare the SO by screaming out, gee damn it, randomly, because something will hit me, and I'm like, God, that was stupid. This one lasted for like 4 hours. Tell me if I'm overreacting. UNLV yesterday announced that they were doing Taco Tuesdays. So for Tuesday games at home, they're going to have $2 tacos at the concession stands, right?
Mm-hmm.
So without informing the people on the show that I was on, the TJ Otzelberger show, and the audience, which is like a basic of radio, explain the story, I just decided to jump into a Taco Tuesday reference with like a stupid joke, and I'm kind of getting a feel for the new UNLV coach. He's pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of drill sergeant-esque.
But he was in that burger commercial.
I you know what? The funny thing is I've seen him off the air, and he can be a wisecracker, but man, on the air, I throw out this Taco Tuesday UNLV reference. It had just been announced yesterday. I didn't explain it to the audience. I don't think he knew about it. He just paused for a second and just immediately moved on. And then I got home and I'm like, I don't think he knew about their promotion. I am a horse's ass.
One silly one, Taco Tuesday, that was introduced today. So your idea or from the higher ups?
From the higher ups.
As high up as you can go, probably.
Okay.
In the athletic department.
We're down with that, right, John?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you have a few extra minutes, I'm sure Desiree would love to get up here and answer some challenging questions as well. Let's give it up for Desiree.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So his boss, DRF, the AD, was there. He kind of pivoted. John Sandler saved me. But across the set, they were like, what are you talking about? They had no idea. That's why he was like, above.
He sounded almost offended by the question.
Because I'm stupid.
I don't think so. I mean, I think you would assume that the head coach of the program would know.
I don't know about that.
I mean,
I'm telling you, this guy.
It is concessions.
I'm telling you, John. He is like, it is, you talk to him, it is basketball. That is his freaking life. I don't think he's involved in promotions.
No, you know what? I think you're fine. He was in a burger commercial, all right? Now, that's on him. This is my first call.
But I think he was familiar with the whole burger. Like, they had an Otzel burger at a joint in wherever it is in South Dakota.
This is my first strike with the new regime. Yeah, you got to know. You were in a burger commercial. Now, all food-related things, you got to be educated.
That actually...
Or maybe he's anti-taco.
If we're going to sit here, though, because that would be a failure to disseminate the information to all the important people in the basketball program. But this place, Ari can tell you, and you worked here, is certainly not a place that can be ripping others for a lack of communication. And everyone around the building knowing what's going on, we are the worst.
That's fair.
I don't. Was Bischoff on today? I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't listen to Tyler.
Well, that's not very nice. You're a devotee to your guys over on 920 The Game?
No, that's a shot for an argument about DVOA and his shot at Jacoby Brissett over the weekend and the Raiders win.
The analytic nerds right now. You guys are going crazy. Very crazy. All right, so you bail me out a little bit on my stupid Taco Tuesday reference.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
But the point is, Tuesdays, UNLV home games, coming up this month, 11-5, 11-26.
I'll be there.
$2 tacos. What do you want? You're actually going to work that day?
Taco Tuesday, yeah.
Okay, you're going to pitch in on a Tuesday. Very nice, just to get the tacos. Or you're not going to work. You're just going to go and get the tacos.
Yeah, do the show from there. Skype, something like that.
What do we do tonight with World Series Game 7? It's 140, Astros, Greinke, Scherzer. Scherzer a bit bulky. Mm-hmm. Can he go distance? Is Greinke going to clench up and, freak out? And the other one is, really? We're going to have a situation where the Astros don't win and no one wins a home game in the World Series?
That'd be great.
Incredible.
Well, by the way, too, did you know that this is the first World Series Game 7 between two former Cy Young pitchers?
Wow, that's incredible, too.
I mean, I guess
you would figure that would happen all the time.
Right, and I guess World Series Game 7 is very specific, but I was actually really surprised by that stat. That was from ESPN. But my initial thought, I know Scherzer with the neck and the tightness, you don't know exactly what's going to happen with him. I think it would be Nationals or pass. They clearly like to hit at Minute Maid. They're batting .272 in the games up to this point, outscoring them 24-9. Like, they seem to have, when they're playing on the road in Minute Maid, they seem to have really all the momentum. And Greinke, like you talk about going long, he hasn't gotten to the fifth inning, or he hasn't gotten out of the fifth inning, I should say, in I think three of his last four appearances.
Oh, they're going to manage this one tight.
Yeah. And so
he may be pulled in the second or third inning if he's freaking out.
Yep. And the command really hasn't been there for him either. You mentioned, like, freaking out. It hasn't really been in terms of big numbers, but he's just walking guys and letting free runners on. And, yeah, I feel like it's just Nationals are past for me in this.
We're going to get to it. What happened last night with the interference call, the umpires, Major League Baseball, the ejection of Dave Martinez was a massive embarrassment. They freaking escaped. They better give, like, they give cars to MVPs. They better give a fleet of cars to freaking Anthony Rendon.
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600.
Swinging a high fly ball left field, sending Brantley back onto the warning track, at the wall, looking up, and it is gone! Anthony Rendon puts it into the Crawford boxes, and the Nationals lead the ballgame 5-2 here in the seventh inning.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
Anthony Rendon saves Major League Baseball. Big time. Big time. So let's go through what happened last night. Nats win. The interference call and all the controversy after is rendered mostly, keep that word in mind, mostly irrelevant because of Rendon in multiple situations, and especially in that situation where he came up and he hit a two-run homer and instead of a three-run homer, right? So,
yep.
I'm just going to set up three things here, all right? This is the way I read the situation, and I want to simplify it for the audience because I think we can all get caught in the weeds debating this thing because last night on social media was just silly. So, the way I look at it, umpires made a call that was incorrect. They reviewed a play that's not reviewable, And then they lied about what they were doing under the hood, saying that they were under there because of a protest. I think that encapsulates everything. Now, let's start breaking it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the interference call. Your thoughts?
I mean, by the letter of the law, it is correct that Trey Turner should have been out.
But it is a judgment call.
Yep.
So there is subjectivity in it. When you break it down, why did he interfere? What caused him to interfere?
It was a bad throw.
A bad throw, and also Gurriel not really making a great play on the ball and losing his glove.
Yep.
So that is a subjective call. So am I wrong in saying that they made a bad call, or they actually made the correct call by the letter of the law?
No, I think you're right in saying it was a bad call, because overall there's so many issues that stem from it, but the least of which is Trey Turner, his interference is all due to the fact of what the Astros did. It's not because of what Trey Turner did.
He actually has no option. I heard Joe Torre talking about this after the game, and his explanation would leave Trey Turner with zero options. What Trey Turner could do, but I don't even know how you would do it. You're running straight. How would you see out of your left eye that a ball is coming behind you and the glove is going to go in front of you? And it's also a very dangerous play for the runner. I mean, that's the kind of play where you could turn an ankle, or even more seriously, if you all of a sudden plant your left leg and you have to jump to the right, because that's what we would have to do. But how the hell would he see the ball?
Yep.
Well, so it's a bad rule in general.
Yes.
That they probably need to change. But last night, it's a judgment call. I don't think they should have called it, but they did, and that's it. There's no turning back.
Yep.
There's no review.
Yeah.
It's not a reviewable play. And I'll tell you, if they had called him safe, that's worse.
Yep.
Now you're just making up rules. At least there's subjectivity within the rule. They made a call. Okay. That's within the letter of the law, whether you disagree or agree with it. But if they had overturned it on something that's not reviewable, that's outrageous.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think that annoyed a lot of people is it is subjective, like you said, but there was a clip being passed around yesterday, right? Jose Altuve legging out to first base. Yeah. And he's like all the way inside the lines, running on the grass.
It happens all the time,
right? And especially if, you know, like, it is such a hard thing to do, especially I think it's probably more disadvantage. If you're a left-handed batter, you're probably at more of a disadvantage in terms of that rule, just tearing straight down the line.
No, I think it's a righty because you're crossing over the plate. And to take your first angle, if you're really kind of going straight, you're going to run across the grass for a while and not really get into the running lane officially until the very last seconds.
So it's just a call that I think a lot of people had a big issues with, because they saw Altuve and the play that was in that game as well. The fact that it wasn't reviewable, and they spent how long?
It was at least 4.5 minutes.
Yep.
Your thought is what, moving forward? If you think there's going to be a close play, what do you do as the guy catching the ball and throwing it?
Yeah, if you're throwing it, you're throwing it into the base path. And if you're at first, you're extending your glove into the base path. That should be the play
every
single time.
You're risking breaking your wrist, but just loosen up the glove and drop it.
Yep.
But here's the thing. My guess is 50% of the time, they're not going to call it interference.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's part of the, like, over the 162-game regular season, right? And then, you know, multiply that by the 30 teams. How many times is that called? And on the biggest stage where you're sitting there and you're watching this game and you look at that play and you realize that everything that just happened in that chain of events, Trey Turner had minimal impact on everything that happened. Like, that's a really big issue, and it's something that they need to look at.
So think about it. And this happens so often. Adam Hill's really big on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Umpires potentially blow a call. Then in this case, they review an unreviewable call. They still don't overturn it because they really can't. And then they get pissed because they're embarrassed. Like, Adam Hill will point this out all the time in basketball. He believes that a lot of techs happen because the refs get all sensitive because they realize as they're being screamed at, they made the wrong call, but then they double down and then they penalize the team for fighting the bad call. Yeah. And that's what they did with Davey Martinez, which was outrageous. Cederstrom is a guy who was the aggressor who actually made contact with Martinez. They're, you know, I don't want to do this. I hate talking about officiating all the time, but we were just doing this after the weekend in the NFL. When is there going to be some accountability and public accountability? If we're going to find Baker Mayfield and Clay Matthews for speaking out against officiating, when there's something this egregious, and we're not talking about the call, We're talking about reviewing a play that's not reviewable and Cederstrom goading Martinez. He needs to be fined.
Yep.
And it needs to be made public.
It's not a game at, you know, 11 a.m. on July, or in July, you know, on July 11th. It's the World Series. It's game six. Astros win. They win the title. Like, this is massive in terms of getting this right and getting this absolutely correct. This is, I think, a pretty big issue that they really need to review. And here's the thing, man. That if you're going to sit here and say that, oh, it's fine because you got a two-run shot. No, it's not fine because a two-run shot would have been a three-run shot, and everything changes after that.
ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Raiders on three. One, two, three.
Raiders.
Home of the Raiders fan.
I don't give a damn what y'all saw last night. You will see better. Anthony Davis can actually look a hell of a lot better. I completely agree.
Tell it to me, Steve. What is it?
40-20. You know what I said?
40-20.
Let me say it again. 40-20.
In the third.
In three quarters.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Anthony Davis last night, 40-20, ailing shoulder, and LeBron comes out after the game. You hear Stephen A. Smith reacting to that, but LeBron came out after the game and said, this is really just the beginning. He can get a lot better. So Lakers off to a good start. Clippers off to a good start. Clippers, no Kawhi Leonard, no Paul George. Kawhi, load management in a big Wednesday national ESPN NBA spot. The line has gone overnight from Clippers getting 1.5 to now Clippers getting 6. And we'll let JVT go off a little more around 4:45 when we talk to one of the folks from Superbook USA and this whole transparency, you know, integrity thing with the NBA, because this one they completely whiffed on. Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. We're about 15 minutes away from some VGK talk with Sideline Stormy. But last couple of points. We really barely got into it, and I'm not doing hours on this because I really think it's way in the weeds. But there was interference last night called in World Series game number 6. Dave Martinez flipped out, got ejected. There was a long delay. Umpires reviewing something that is not reviewable, which was a farce. It goes 5 minutes. You know, the Nats protested the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked the Astros didn't. Because it was funny. During, you know, the long break, this is where you kind of expose yourself with the broadcasters. I was listening to radio. So Chris Singleton and Shulman, brilliant. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Shulman was flipping out. Joe Buck, I thought, was pretty good. John Smoltz tried to start, you know, soft-pedaling the whole thing. And at one point, he said about the bad call, it didn't cost anybody. What do you mean? The Astros pitcher had to sit there for 5 minutes. Will Harris, if I'm Hinch, I'm protesting.
Yep.
My guy's cold now.
Yep.
What are you reviewing? It's not reviewable. You made the call. Let's move on. And then Harris gets jacked out of the park.
Yep.
That's bullcrap. That had an effect.
There was a lot of people. It was funny because there was a lot of people on Twitter talking about, oh, great, now Strasburg's going to get cold. I was like, yeah, there's two pitchers in this situation here. And I think it's even worse to be in the flow of an inning and then have to stop for that long. You know, at least Strasburg knows, hey, you know, we're not going right now. If it's a long inning, whatever, that's fine. In that situation, Strasburg knows how to handle it. But when you're out there on the field, that's worse for you because you're in the flow, you're pitching, you're in a groove, whatever it is. And like you said, was it two pitches later? Because I think the next guy popped out on the first pitch, and then two pitches, boom, out of the park.
I thought social media last night was brilliant. And frankly, if you're the kind of person who does radio and does not follow social media during these situations, you're missing out. You're not informing your audience. You're not getting differing opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And to not read some of these tweets is completely letting down your audience. You're an idiot. You have to use this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Braden. Dave Martinez doesn't deserve to be dismissed with this kind of disrespect and disregard. This is the World Series. Game 6, do or die for a squad. You hose him in a replay and now you treat him like this? Horrible.
Yep.
On the flip side, you know who thought it was a good call? BTK. Big T's Kate, right?
Yep.
Kate Upton. Did not get a great response to this. Although, you know what? She wasn't completely wrong. This is kind of the whole anti-female thing that comes out on
Twitter.
You
don't know what you're talking about.
Kate Upton, Verlander's lady, said he wasn't within the base pass. Those who don't know the rule, you have to run inside two lines. And as soon as a woman says that, especially one who's kind of known, you know, built her brand on looks and a blonde. You're like, oh, yep. She's a ditz. She's now lecturing baseball fans. Those who don't know the rule, you have to run inside two lines. Not sure why the review is taking so long. Well, there shouldn't have been a review. And in a way, she was right.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. There, it's not reviewable. And that, to me, that's actually the most insulting part. And that's the overarching theme of this whole thing, John. It's John Von Tobel, Cofield, Ari here on this Wednesday. This happens in every league now, especially the NFL and Major League Baseball. The umpires' egos get in the way too often. Holbrook made a bad call. Shaky call. Cederstrom is the one who exacerbated the situation with Martinez. Then Joe Torre comes out, management. Why is he on the field? Is that protocol? Get off the field.
I don't know. Did you see the thing with Turner, too, during the broadcast?
Oh, yeah.
Where Turner's screaming at him, like, Torrey's sitting right there. He's like, you won't even look up.
Yep.
You know? Like, don't talk to
that
him.
That was great. Joe Buck was commenting on Trey Turner, ripping on Joe Torre.
Yep.
And as I said earlier, well, actually, you know what? I got to give credit. This is another thing.
Mm.
I'm not going to come on the air and just steal other people's takes. I was just listening to Casey Stern, who's very good on satellite,
it.
Right?
Should have just taken it.
And no, I don't like doing that. He was pointing out that he believes that Joe Torre came out to talk to the umpires to get the story straight, to get what their narrative was going to be. And then they just start fibbing after the game. Oh, we went over to review because of the protest. What does that mean?
Yeah.
You lodge a protest and let's keep playing.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you need headsets on for?
Yeah.
We deciding whether we can protest or not? Torrey's there! So Casey Stern, who also does a really good job on the NBA, he thought, you know, it was a bit conspiratorial. And it's this whole, it's the officials and the leagues just doubling and tripling down on situations that make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a mistake. Move on.
Yep. Well, and it's funny, too, because Arians said this after their game on the weekend, Bruce Arians, for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Referees, and it's true for every sport. He's talking about, obviously, the NFL officials. They're not held accountable, right? Like, the NBA tries with their little report at the end of the games, but that does nothing. That just goes ahead and tells you, yeah, they got it wrong. But at the end of games, there are press conferences for the winning team. There are press conferences for the losing team. And there should be a press conference for the officials every single time. Because guess what? You talk about egos and you talk about, oh, you know, help being held accountable. Players have to do that every single time. When a guy screws up a play, they have to go out there and hear about it and ask questions about it. It should be the same for officials. It really should.
Let's liken it to the everyday workplace, right?
Yeah.
If you came to work and you knew you really weren't accountable, wouldn't that be in the back of your mind and almost motivate you to be that much more brash? Like, it is motivation for the NFL officials. I mean, the stuff with the NFL officials on the field and then the review system with the PIs.
Yeah.
The whole lot of them should be fired. But at least the guys at the top, they're intentionally not overturning a rule that was established. They're not looking honestly at PI reviews, and they've now overturned one since week three. That's
Colts
obscene.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let's come back full circle to what we talked about I don't know, whatever. 3:10, right?
Yeah.
And even earlier. We were talking about integrity in sports and the arrogance of these sports. And it wasn't arrogance. They just want money. But coming up with this integrity fee nonsense, the entire country, whatever, 35 states, say like 5 years from now, are gonna be betting on this. There's gonna be hundreds of millions and you know, if not billions of dollars. Do you know the look this gives to baseball?
Because
now people, the uninitiated, the uneducated, could actually look at Gary Cederstrom and go, you know what, maybe he's on the take. People start thinking about that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, it already happened in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
They had a widespread scandal they tried to cover up. Like, you wonder what's going on here. Like, is there something fishy happening? I don't believe that. I just think it's...
Incredible
hubris, but you're right. Many people.
First thing they go to after every single time is fixed. You know, they don't want that team, you know, team A, team B, whatever it is. They don't want them to win.
Or they want to, or simply, you know, what do they always do in the NBA when we talk about something fishy happening or whatever, questionable officiating in like a game 5 or 6 in a series that appeared to be dead?
Want a game 7.
They want a game 7. And what do we have in baseball now?
Yep, game 7.
Maybe that's what Joe Torre was coming out saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, guys, what are you doing? We want Turner on.
Yeah, we gotta pay back the Nats a little bit here. We need a seven.
It's so ridiculous. And you know, it gets even worse. And this is just like another top.
I hate that.
Oh, it's extremely lazy. And the other thing, too, is now that sports gambling is starting to become bigger, people sometimes use that in the terms of their handicapping when you hear like the NBA postseason and how they're looking at things. Oh, well, you know, the officials this. I'm like, stop. Like, you can't. Like, I get what happened in the past with certain sports and with college basketball, with the NBA, but it's not fixed. And it's extremely lazy when your team loses or if a call goes against you to come out and say it's fixed. You know what it is? It's just incompetence. It's not that it's fixed. It's just that these guys don't know what they're doing.
Let's do a giveaway. We've got our golden nugget. Mama, let me be. Giveaway. This is the Guess Who. It's American Woman. We're going to give away multiple pairs of tickets to the show this Friday, 52 Fridays Concert Series, Golden Nugget. Crank it up. This is actually a song of protest. What was the Guess Who protesting with the song American Woman? 364-1100, 364-1100. Give the answer to Ari. You get two tickets to go see the Guess Who this Friday, 8 o'clock, at the Golden Nugget, part of their 52 Friday series. By the way, they expanded out in early December, not just Fridays. You got to see the freaking lineup of country stars and legends they're going to have at the Golden Nugget. But right now, that is a protest song. What was the Guess Who protesting? 364-1100.
Join the conversation on Twitter at Cofield & Co.
But it came up high. Now it's in the slot. Penalty coming. Carrier sends it in front. Score! Ryan Reeves! 2-1 Golden Knights! Ryan smacks home his second of the year to put the Knights in the lead for the first time today.
Now, back to Cofield & Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
What a fun week on the way for the Vegas Golden Knights, coming off a gigantic victory over the weekend. Couple of days off for the fellas, and also Sideline Stormy, who joins us here on this Wednesday. What's going on?
Hey, Sideline Stormy. I like it. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. Before we get to the hardcore hockey, we got to talk about all the cool events going on with Halloween on the way at the Fortress. This is pretty neat. I mean, the organization is like, let's go. Let's do Halloween.
Oh, yeah, they're super into it. Like, it's going to be a ton of fun for the Halloween game. There's going to be costumes everywhere, candy everywhere, and there's going to be a contest, too, which I think is great for adults or for kids, and the winners are going to get shown off on the Jumbotron. They're going to win prizes. I think it'll just be a ton of fun, and the broadcasters may or may not be getting in on that costume action as well.
Oh, stop. You're dressing up. We know you are. But we won't have you give away the costume.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it'll be a ton of fun tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. That and, of course, the Dia de Muertos festivities that'll be coming on in a couple days as well.
I see the rules of the costumes. Face painting allowed. Costumes clearly allowed. Are you going to test them a little bit with anything vulgar or, as they put it, hazardous?
Hazardous, really? That's not really for me. No, it's a family-friendly environment there at the Fortress. We're going to have a lot of fun. So keep it clean, people. If you're coming, keep it clean. Okay? That's all I ask.
Other warnings. You can wear a mask to the game, but you can only wear it in your seat. Don't wear it while walking around. That might pose a threat.
Yes, you can't wear it to the game. You can wear it in the game.
Yes.
So it's a little flip-flop there.
You were more clear about that. Very nice. I don't understand this one. There's no weapons allowed?
Yeah, I know. That was weird, right?
Come on! We need swords!
You can bring a foam sword. Foam helmet, anything like that. Just don't pose a danger to me or yourself. That's all I'm asking.
If you're a Raiders fan and you want to wear those, like, the spiky outfits, also not allowed.
Also not allowed, no. And I actually saw the cutest little kid that was, like, skating on the ice the other day in a Raiders helmet with spikes, and I was just like, man, he couldn't wear that to T-Mobile. I'm sorry, buddy.
Rules are rules. Did you see... Well, first of all, did the players have a Halloween party? I want you to confirm that. You're on the inside.
Yes, confirmed.
Okay, because I saw some pictures, and I never know sometimes if that's real. Have you talked to the players about why they're so, I'm going to use an old term, geeked up about Halloween? Why are they so into it?
I don't know what it is or when it became such a big thing in the NHL, but it's awesome. It's so cool to see how into their costumes that they get. And I feel like people in general, you know, when it comes to Halloween, you're either all in or all out for the most part, and they're just all in. And then looking at the pictures from the party and just all the different things that they put together, I mean, like, the Fleurys always do it big, and Marc-Andre Fleury was cousin it, and his
that was
life
incredible.
Was Wednesday Adam. It was that
you
was
gotta
so
ask
good.
Him.
It was
who makes his costume? There's no way he's sitting there like stitching together a cousin it outfit.
No, but I have a weird feeling that like the ideas come from his wife. She's really really good about that kind of stuff, from what I can see, and like it's just it's ridiculous. That thing was so cool. I wonder. You know what I should have asked him though is if it was itchy, because it looked like it would be itchy.
Too hot. Too hot.
Who's Cousin It?
Oh, no. Well, Stormy, you're pretty young, too. Do you know who Cousin It is?
Of course I know who Cousin It is.
John?
I'm a grown-up.
Well, so is John.
No shot.
Adam's Family?
I get the reference. Isn't there snapping involved in the music?
Oh, my God. We have to... another part of the show, we got to get into the Adam's Family.
Wasn't there a Scooby-Doo episode with the Adam's Family?
Is that right? Was there?
I think so.
Okay. Stormy, did you see the Scooby-Doo Adam's Family episode?
I think I must have missed that part.
I probably saw it, but I'm old.
Was
I forget
for the,
things.
Was it for the best that I missed it? That's the real question.
Yeah, well, no. There's no Scooby episode that's for the best to miss. How do you say it? Dia de Muertos?
Yes, Dia de Muertos, the Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's on Saturday. It looks like they're going to have a mariachi band participating. Special warm-up jerseys actually auctioned during the game. Have you seen the jerseys yet? Because I saw some of the jerseys. Well, they're not really leaked. I guess they have a... Is that a sugar skull? Is that what they call it? Actually, at the team store at the arena.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's so cool. They did like a sugar skull mask, you know? It's really, really cool. And they like incorporated the alternate logo mixed in with it a little bit. It's really, really cool. And that's what you'll see on the warm-up ones as well.
Shouldn't Marc-Andre Fleury wear a sugar skull mask?
Oh, how cool would that be?
Yep.
I didn't even think of something like that. That would be awesome.
And if we're looking for merchandising money, that would be quite the collectible.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? Yeah, that'd be incredible. I'm like, now I'm getting ideas flowing. Maybe we can get something in the works for next year.
Stormy Bonatoni is with us, Southern reporter with VGK, with AT&T Sportsnet Rocky Mountain. Sadly, we had all these young guys just sent out. They don't get to participate in any of the Halloween. Although, you know what? Do we know, like, did Nick Waugh get to go to the Halloween party?
I don't know. So that's, yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I only know as much as what I could see online, too, in terms of everybody that was there. But I know some of the other young guys were there. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't see what his costume was, if he was, when I saw the group photo, at least.
Did anyone get to chat with young Mr. Waugh? I'm sure he was kind of sad. He scores a goal, and then he's sent down.
Not after he was sent down, no. But after the game, he was all smiles. You know, and yeah, I understand where you're coming from. He's probably a bit of a wait, what? What's going on kind of moment, because if anybody went out there and made the most of their opportunity, it was him. That first period alone against the Ducks was just so cool to watch. He scores his first career goal, forces a turnover that leads to another one. But like at this point, you guys know how this works, right? And it's not like being sent down means it's a permanent move. It's just given young guys opportunities to continue playing. And it was interesting to hear him talk the other day. He'd never been a healthy scratch before, so him watching from the press box even was an adjustment. So yeah, like we'll see what happens there, but he's a really positive guy.
So 8-5 start, solid. We'll get to possible reinforcements. Well, it looks like they're going to be back on Thursday. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. I wanted to talk about a couple of guys, who normally aren't, a big part of goal scoring units. But has anyone explained why Carrier and Reeves have, when they're playing together, actually the goal output has been better? Last year, I think it was like over 400 minutes playing together. They had like 10 goals. They got 5 already. Uh-oh, we lost her.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
That weird feedback might have been a sign.
It happens sometimes. It happens. We'll ask Stormy about this in a second. Gallant in his Wednesday availability did make it pretty clear that Nate Schmidt and Alex Tuck will be back. And that's why I was mentioning the 8-5 start. This team has not been healthy to this point in the season. So, and they're off to a pretty good start. So with these reinforcements, it should only get better. Stormy's back up with us. You know, Stormy, I wanted to move on to what Gallant said today. So is it pretty clear that Schmidt and Tuck are going to be back?
I mean, not he didn't say it outright, but that's definitely the feeling that we have, which is a great thing for this team. So certainly hoping that they get the word that they're cleared tomorrow.
What do they miss when Nate Schmidt's not out there?
I mean, so much, right? He's just, yes, you have the stuff on the ice. He's an incredibly skilled defenseman, solid two-way game. But he also just brings that consistent energy and positive attitude. And I think, you know, just what he brings into the dress room is really, really important. And, of course, you know, like, he puts everyone back where they belong. That's what Coach Gallant said today. Having him in the lineup relieves a lot of pressure on everybody else defensively. And, you know, Shea Theodore, for example, who's had to step up and play a lot of minutes against top players. We haven't got to see a whole lot of the offensive part of his game be able to chip in because of, you know, how hard he's had to work filling, stepping up and filling that gap. So certainly great if we were able to get him back.
Glenn also mentioned that Theodore had a maintenance day. What does that mean?
I mean, you know, it's just kind of the same as a rest day, pretty much. Make sure your body's all good. Like, I would certainly expect him to be there tomorrow. No problems. No questions asked.
Any update on Derek England?
he was back skating today. So, yeah. You know, that's what Coach said. It was minor. It was a minor tweak. He'd be back soon. And I know something that you were thinking about is that shaved face. That was a little weird to look at, huh?
Yeah, I guess people were all freaked out that the beard was gone.
He did that for the dedication to his Halloween costume, though, because he was Jack from A Nightmare from Before Christmas. And so it was dedication. I actually saw him, like, yesterday in street clothes walking around at City National, and I had to do, like, a triple take of him. So, yeah, it was a little bit jarring, but that's commitment. Good stuff.
So it seems like every week with Stormy, we got to talk about beer. What do we know about this? There's some sort of England tie, like the King of England, New England IPA?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it. I know that half of every pint that's sold is going to be donated back to the Ingo's Heroes Foundation, which is so cool. But it's really like a battle of the brewers, right, with him and Revo. I think that's so cool that they're both getting into it. I wonder if we can do, like, a taste test one day and get votes.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. Well, I'm going to try one more time. I don't want you to give away the costume. Stormy Bonatoni's on the horn with us. Is it going to be a male, a female? Will it be scary? Could it be a beast? Is it an animal?
Well, you have to think, like, I still have to do intermission interviews and stuff. So we've got to be a little on the tamer side. So that's the best I can tell you is that it's a good one, but it's on the tamer side.
All right, there you go. Another reason to tune in, right?
Yes. Keep them wanting more.
Stormy, we appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
There you go. Sideline Stormy. Stormy Bonatoni, AT&T Sportsnet, Rocky Mountain. I'm curious. I actually think it would be fascinating if it were a mask and she was just mumbling through the mask.
I would be down with it. Put a lav in there, you know what I mean, on the inside of the mask. Might be a little weird sounding, but you can get it done. Lav, whatever.
We have a connection, you can tell.
You and Stormy?
Yeah, Sideline Reporters.
Clearly. You know, the other day I met...
I do! I texted her the other day because... I don't know, one of the intermission breaks, freaking Wild Bill comes off, and he was just like, yes, no, yes, yes. Like, come on!
Power through.
Give me something.
Keep asking questions.
I texted her. I actually did text her. I was like, good job. Yep. Can we get Wild Bill? Let's go. Pick it up.
I met somebody the other day that alleged that he was her brother.
Is that right?
Yeah. And, like, I was like, well, I don't know why I didn't believe him. And I just, you know, people are weird sometimes in which they claim certain things. So I was like, nah, good for you.
Carlson and Bonatoni.
What?
Seems similar. Wait, what happened? Didn't you just say Stormy and Wild Bill?
No, I said I met somebody who claimed that he
I thought, oh, okay. I totally missed out on that.
No, I'm not saying that Carlson and Bonatoni
I took it as related. Claimed that he...
No, the person that, who wait. I met was claiming that they were brother.
Stop.
Yeah, of Stormy. Is it Bonatoni?
Oh, brother of Stormy. I thought you meant brother of Wild Bill.
No, no.
But this is a nightmare down the stretch here. I don't know what's going
on. This is worse than the Otzelberger taco thing.
I know. I lost all focus. Justin Watkins is here to pull us together.
Coming up next, legal analyst Justin Watkins joins Steve in studio to break down the biggest legal stories in the world of sports.